Shalom. אנחנו לומדים את הקדמה.
Hello, we are studying the introduction to the book of Zohar, a division of Rabbi Chiya, item 56. We'll be starting from the Mochin at the level of Chochmah. Again, we're reading from the introduction to the book of Zohar, the vision of Rabbi Chiya, item 56.
We're going to try to be together as one man and one heart and be as close as possible to the reforming light and try to really feel how it operates in us. Please.
The Mochin at the level of Chochmah are called Einayim, eyes. Since the five Sefirot of Rosh are called Galgalta Einayim and Achav, and as those drops that the eyes emit are called tears, those drops that the level of Chochmah emit are called tears. Emission of tears is done in a zivug of Haka'ah, because the upper light that is drawn to the lower one and strikes, the Masach kicks and strikes it, for it wishes to be drawn below the boundary in the Masach. However, the Masach promptly prevails over it and repels it, for it does not let it cross its border. However, in the meantime, before the Masach repelled it, very small drops of the upper light necessarily extend below the boundary of the Masach, because for all the quickness of the Masach, it failed to repel them from it and above it in time. You should know that those drops cannot be included in the level of Chochmah that came out in the lower one, as they are without a clothing or chozel, and they are reflected and exit the Potsuf Chochmah. They are the ones called tears. When a corporeal person fills with compassion and love over one's friend, he sheds tears, for it extends from the above-mentioned root of spiritual tears. Since anything spiritual that occurs in the upper one strikes and finds a branch in the corporeal creations. This is so because the upper light kicks and strikes the Masach to breach its boundary. Since the upper light always extends only from Ein Sof, above the world of Tzimtzum, where no boundary is discerned. Also, the upper light craves and longs to expand in the lower one. As it is written, the Creator craved to dwell in the lower ones. We also learn divinity in the lower ones, a high need. Hence, he kicks and strikes the boundary in the Masach to be drawn below its boundary, and the Masach repels it as Ol Chozel, and in the meantime, tears fell outside. These tears come out of compassion and love for the lower one. Hence, in the corporeal branch too, the tears are always emitted when one's heart is moved with love and compassion for one's friend. Yet spiritual tears do not vanish as the corporeal ones. These tears that are as boiling fire fall into the great sea, as it is written, for love is as strong as death, jealousy is as severe as the netherworld, its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. This is so because those tears come out of compassion and love from the upper light to the lower one. And as you find in the corporeal branch, when one fills with love and compassion for one's friend, the tears are as boiling as the measure of his feelings for him. So it is with the above-mentioned tears. They boil as fire, whose flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. This is why it was said, and the tears are as boiling fire, and fall into the great sea. The quality of Malchut on the side of Chochmah is called the great sea, since great waters extend from it, breakers of the sea. Through those tears that a pointy over the sea called Rachav stands and exists, meaning that minister of the sea who was killed at the time of the creation of the world. It is written, "And by his understanding he shattered Rahab." For when he was told, "Let the water be gathered together onto one place," he did not want to swallow the waters of Bereshit, and he stands and exists on those tears that fall into the great sea, for through them he is revived. It was said that he sanctifies the name of the Holy King and takes upon himself to swallow all the waters of Bereshit. This is so because at the time of the creation of the world, no correction reached Malchut of Malchut, since the Emanator corrected the worlds in Man of Bina and not in Man of Malchut, and this sufficed only for the first nine of Malchut and not for Malchut of Malchut. It is written, "You are my people, you are in partnership with me. I started the worlds and you finish them." The entire correction of Malchut is upon the lower ones. Hence, when it was said to the minister of the sea, "Let the water be gathered onto one place," he refused, and did not wish to swallow all the waters of Bereshit, because the Klipot would have overcome him, for lack of the correction of Malchut. This is why he was killed. However, those tears are the ones that sort and correct the Malchut of Malchut. For this reason, they give vitality to the minister of the sea, so he may stand and sanctify the name of the Holy King, to keep his master's command and swallow all the waters of Bereshit. Then all the Klipot in the world and all the evil powers will annul, and all will gather unto one place, the world of Atzilut. Since the world of Atzilut will expand equally with the Raglaim of Ak down to this world, this will be the end of correction, because Bia will return to being Atzilut. When all the peoples gather over the holy nation, and the waters dry out and pass through land, it will be in the future, at the end of correction. When all the nations of the world gather at once to destroy Israel, at that time it will be revealed that the minister of the sea will swallow all the waters of Bereshit, that the waters will dry out, and that the children of Israel will pass through land, as it is written, "As in the days when you come out from the land of Egypt, I will show you wonders." However, then was only the beginning, for it was only in the Red Sea, and only for a time. At the end of correction, however, death will be swallowed up forever. Thus Matat clarified the oath he had taken, that each day the king visits the doe and remembers the doe that is lying in the dust. Although the zivug that he makes with his divinity each day is only in 390 firmaments, only in the first nine of Malchut, and Malchut of Malchut remained lying in the dust. And it seems to us that the king does not remember her at all. It is not so. Rather, he visits her with each and every zivug, since in each zivug tears fall out because of the kicks that he kicks in the 390 firmaments. Also, they are not lost, but fall into the great sea, the Malchut of Malchut, who gradually receives her correction through those tears. And to that extent, the minister of the sea is revived until the tears accumulate sufficiently to sort the entire Malchut. This will be when all the nations in the world gather over Israel at once. At that time, the minister of the sea will be revived and will swallow all the waters of Bereshit, since the Malchut of Malchut will receive her correction from the whole. Thus the king visits the doe each day until she receives her correction from the whole. And here all of Rabbi Chiya's wishes appear to him, for he saw that nothing withered in the dust. On the contrary, there is a zivug on it each day, as Matat had sworn to him.
Questions? You don't want to ask? So we'll continue. Yes.
Mi ze bidyuk Matat?
Who exactly is Matat?
Forces. forces. We're only talking about forces. There is no more in all of creation but force. The force of the creator and the force of the created being. And those two forces come through all kinds of states to the final balance between them. Yes.
A friend from Colombia is asking, what is a friend in a spiritual sense? What is the term that the Zohar gives for a friend?
Friend, chaver, from the word chibur, connection. One who, according to the system of the general soul, the system of Adam HaRishon, one who is connected to others, for the time being, is called chaver, a friend, because eventually everyone is supposed to connect. As it's written, all of Israel are friends, meaning all those who long for the Creator in a certain state for the time being are friends, meaning they're connected between them. But the end of correction is when they'll all be like that. That's called chaver, a friend. More? That's it? Yes.
When he writes, at a time when the corporeal man is filled and the tears fall down because it's drawn from the roots of the spiritual world, because all of the spiritual are drawn from there. When he talks about the corporeal man,
that's not us. Meaning the fact that there's an upper root where we are in connection between us in the end of correction, and our returning light that we raise also has tears. Those lights that we're not capable of clothing in our returning light and then are expressed outwards because they have no clothing of Ochozer. Therefore, that's the correction, meaning tears are correction. When a person is not capable of raising Ochozer and thus receive the direct light in order to bestow, then this correction is done by the upper, which is called tears. And that's it. Yes?
Let's say when I'm talking to a friend and being filled with love towards him and is filling with tears, that has nothing to do with the spiritual roots?
Hello.
No, because that's all from corporeal, physical, materialistic love, from the will to receive, which is really not in order to bestow. It's not. But it doesn't matter. Cry. More? Let's continue.
Item 57. In the meantime, he heard a voice saying, make way, for the Messiah King is coming to the seminary of Rabbi Shimon. This is so because all the righteous there are heads of seminaries, and those seminaries are known there, and all those friends in each seminary rise from the seminary here to the seminary in the firmament. And the Messiah comes to all those seminaries and seals Torah from the mouths of the sages. At that time the Messiah comes to Rabbi Shimon's seminary crowned with high crowns from the heads of the seminaries. Since through this great revelation in the oath of Matat, the revelation of the end, all those righteous rose very high, meaning they were at the seminary of Rabbi Shimon. It is all the more so with those two classes of righteous who caused the arrival of Matat and his oath, by which they obtained wondrous merits and were all crowned and arrived at the degrees of the heads of the seminaries. This is so because in all the seminaries there are members of the seminar and their heads of the seminary over them. The difference between them is as vak from gal of the degree. When Matat disclosed the meaning of the end, a voice came out and said, make way, for the Messiah King is coming. This is so because the end is connected to the Messiah King. Lotzi explains why all the righteous in Rabbi Shimon's seminary were rewarded with it, since all the righteous there are heads of seminaries. Since to welcome the Messiah, one needs equivalence of form with him. And since the Messiah King is light of Yechidah, had all the friends not been rewarded with the attainment of being heads of seminaries, they would not have been rewarded with welcoming the Messiah. And all those friends in each seminary rise from the seminary here to the seminary in the firmament. He tells us not to think that the heads of seminaries is gar of inferior degrees. He says about that, the seminaries here were in high degrees, very sublime, until all the friends in those seminaries were rewarded with rising from there to the seminary in the firmament. And now, all those members have been rewarded with being heads of seminaries. Moreover, the Messiah too comes to all those seminaries and seals Torah from the mouths of the sages. That is, the merit of the members of those seminaries has so risen that the Messiah came to all those seminaries to be crowned with the innovations of Torah of the members of the seminary. And now, all those members of the seminaries were rewarded with being at the degree of heads of seminaries of those seminaries. And this is the meaning of his conclusion that at that time the Messiah came to Rabbi Shimon's seminary, crowned with the high crowns of the heads of the seminaries. Now, however, after all those members of the seminaries have been rewarded with the degree of heads of seminaries, the Messiah was crowned with the Torah of the heads of seminaries. It follows that he is crowned with the highest crowns from the heads of the seminaries.
Meaning, as much as we're capable of coming to connection between us, then we attain the Creator, which is in the degree above us. We rise, He rises. We rise, He rises. That's how it is, actually. This is how our attainment is. Okay? Yes?
In regards to the interpretation of the language, because it's disclosed, because it's... Is it some kind of perception that we have of what's being spoken about here? If we attained what was written in Zohar, then we would understand what he's writing.
It's clear to us what we attain. We attain each of us, and all of us together, the reforming light, to the extent in which we long for it. I'm not... Well, if I long for attainment, that's not good. Because that's in order to receive for sure. If I long for connection in order so for me to make room for the Creator in that connection, to be revealed, to settle and enjoy, that could be in order to bestow. That's why that's the whole approach that can be in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Either not good and not correct or correct. So what are you asking?
I'm asking about the interpretation of the words correctly.
What do I care? What do I care? If I'm specifically saying it in kind of a crude way. What do I care about the meaning of the words? What is the interpretation here? That means that it's interpreted. When I'll be in that degree like him, then I'll attain it. Meaning, that interpretation. But now what do I have from that? Only the reforming light from that level that I want to rise me. As I'm longing for this, I'm not longing now to understand the meaning of the words in my corporeal intellect, because it won't give me anything. I won't understand it. I won't understand him as he is. So I can be given all kinds of excuses. I don't want them. I want to receive from the study the virtue, the reforming light, and not for me to understand in my beastly intellect, which is like the brain of a cat, What could my brain possibly include in what we're learning now? Nothing. Not a word in its real meaning. Not an action in its true manner. So what do I have from this? So I need to long to what I can now produce from the study.
What differentiates between state where we read about something and when we attain something?
I only need the reforming light during the study. Only it I want to have. I don't want to understand anything. Attainment is not in the intellect. Attainment is not in understanding. Attainment is in the soul. Where I within will be in those qualities that the book is talking about. And in those qualities that I will receive the spiritual ones, bestowal, connection. And those qualities I will feel what I'm supposed to feel.
What's the change of qualities here that happens in a person?
It's the change of kilim. It's like you're moving from one software to another. Let's say you see on your screen in the computer some kind of blurriness, and you're moving to a different program, and pick, everything gets clarified, everything is clear, what a picture. Everything appears. So to move from the corporeal intellect to the spiritual conception or reception, that's opposite.
It's not even qualities that we're aware of.
Of course not. That's why it's called a virtue.
Is there some kind of example for this passage to from our world?
Yes. I don't see you. Now they bring me some instrument. They tell me it's a virtue to see Neve. I clothe it. Oh, wow. Now I see. Are you Neve? Yes. You're Neve. Ah. So I acquired a virtue by what? I paid there 2,000 shekel. I received glasses. That's called to pay for the virtue. There's no more than that. Those are the kind of examples. No. Yes. Why weren't you in the morning lesson? Ah, you were on duty for the chumus. Then ask.
What's the power of connection? What's or the effort of connection that corrects our perception of reality?
The effort for connection is called that I have come to a state which happens slowly, but it's a state where I really want to cause for my work to benefit the friend. Nothing other than that. Not the Creator, not the end of correction, not spirituality, not my life, nothing. I want to do good for him. To cause good to him. That's called in order to bestow.
Why a student that's devoted and consistent receives from his Rav love and supposedly hate and interprets it all as from the Father? Or is the same?
Also towards his Rav and also towards the Creator, we have all kinds of states in which we go through, from rejection to love and from love to rejection again, and we are in such states that we want to harm both a friend and the Rav and the Creator. That's on purpose. The Reshimo from the shattering awakening us that way so that we will scrutinize them and arrange them and correct them. It can't be that a person goes through these degrees and doesn't awaken in him hatred to a friend, to the teacher, and to the creator. It can't be. Yes.
Why are failures come out of it as success?
Because it's all ordered in such a way from above, where we're all engaged in correction, either through our efforts, seemingly, or that the Creator arranges that for me. That's how I feel. That's for the time being. Later, I discovered that it's all, there's none else besides him, it's all done by him. And that's it. Therefore, we have to go through all those states. The main thing is to just go for it, and that's it. Not to be influenced by any individual state along the way. And what that means is to not have anything stop me.
Why is a person is smaller in the same way that he thinks himself is small, he is great?
Because that's what causes him to grow.
Thank you.
Well, let's go.
We are reading from item 58. At that time, all the friends rose, and Rabbi Shimon rose, and his light ascended to the top of the firmament. The Messiah told him, Rabbi, happy are you that your Torah is rising by 370 lights, and each light spreads into 613 flavors, rising and dipping in the rivers of the pure persimmon. And the Creator seals the Torah from your seminary and from the seminary of Hizkiah, king of Judah. And out of the seminary of Ahijah, the Shilonite, when the Messiah king appeared to them and came to the seminary of Rabbi Shimon, all the friends rose, and Rabbi Shimon rose in that same degree until his light ascended to the top of the firmament. This implies that Rabbi Shimon attained that light of the 10 firmaments that are missing due to the blocked gate of Malchut of Malchut, and his light was rising up to the top of the firmament, which is light of Yechidah. And the Messiah told him, Your Torah is rising by 370 lights. And each light spreads into 613 flavors, rising and dipping in the rivers of the pure persimmon. In other words, his Torah was rising to Atik Yomin, in whom each Sfira rises up to 100,000, and four Sfirot Chubtum, or 400,000 in him, since units are Nukva, tens in Zanpin, hundreds in Ima, and thousands in Abba, tens of thousands in Al-Khanpin, and hundreds of thousands are in Atik. However, accordingly, he should have said that your Torah rises by 400 lights, and each light rises to 1,000 flavors, meaning 400,000. However, he was hinting him that with respect to the lights, which are from Ima, he is not using the 400 in full, but only 370. As it is written, he was more honored than the 30, but he did not come to the 3. This is so because even though his light rises up to the top of the firmament, he still did not reach the gar of the top 100 of the yod. Thus, he had only 370 lights, lacking the 30 top ones. Similarly, regarding the thousands, which are the lights of Abba, he does not use the actual gar of each thousand, but only the vak of each of them, which are 600. And instead of gar of each 1,000, he uses 13, who are chokmah of the 32 paths, since 13 are chokmah of the 32 paths called the pure persimmon. This is why the Messiah told him, Your Torah is rising by 370 lights, and each light spreads into 613 flavors, rising and dipping in the rivers of the pure persimmon. Since 30 of the upper chokmah are missing in the 400 of Ima, and there are only 370 in her, and in each 1,000 the top 400 are missing, those who are from the first chokmah. In their stead, the 13 rivers of pure persimmon operate. Also, in each 1,000 there are only 613, because this is how all the secrets rise, high and blocked from the seminary of Rabbi Shimon. And the Creator seals the Torah from your seminary. The Messiah comes into all those seminaries and seals the Torah from the mouth of the sages, because he grows and crowns by the innovations of Torah of all the righteous. It is written that all the prophets made their prophecies only for the days of Messiah. But it is written of the future, neither has the eye seen a God beside you. This is so because then all the degrees that belong to the days of Messiah will be corrected, and all the secrets of Torah will be in the form of, neither has the eye seen a God besides you. Then it is considered that the Creator seals the Torah. And since the Torah of those three heads of souls come from after the days of the Messiah, as in, neither has the eye seen a God besides you, the Messiah told him that the Creator is sealing the Torah from your seminary, from the seminary of Chizkiah, king of Judah, and from the seminary of Ahijah, the Shilonite. This is because those three were rewarded with the secrets of Torah, of neither has the eye seen a God besides you, and the Creator himself seals the Torah from their mouths. 59. And I came to seal the Torah from your seminary only because the Winged One will come here, for I know that he will enter no other seminary but your seminary. When Rabbi Shimon told him of that oath that the Winged One took, the Messiah was startled and raised his voice. The firmament shuddered, the great sea shuddered, the whale shuddered, and the world was about to flip over. In the meantime, he saw Rabbi Chiya at Rabbi Shimon's feet. He said, "Who admitted here a man dressed in a garment of that world?" Meaning in a body from this world. Rabbi Shimon said, "This is Rabbi Chiya, a light from the light of Torah." He told him, "He and his sons will perish," meaning that they will be rid of this world and will be part of your seminary. Rabbi Shimon said, "Let time be given to him." He was given time. The Messiah told him, he has come to seal only so that the Winged One would come to his seminary, for he wishes to know what he told him and what he said, for I know that he will enter no other seminary but your seminary, is because he will not go to the seminaries of Hezekiah, king of Judah, or Ahijah, the Shilonite. Then the Messiah was startled and raised his voice. Due to the disclosure of the end that Matat disclosed, that at that time there will be terrible troubles for Israel. The firmaments will shudder, and so will the great sea, and the world will flip over, as we learned that the world exists for 6,000 years and one ruined. Thus he raised his voice, for he wished to mitigate all those shocks. He said, "Who admitted here a man dressed in a garment of that world?" The Messiah was surprised about Rabbi Chiya, that he was dressed in the corporeal body of this world. Since once he has been rewarded with being here, and was rewarded with the revelation of Matat and his oath, he has already corrected all the evil, and was rewarded with welcoming the Messiah. And thus he was completed all his work in this world, and had nothing more to do in this world. Hence, he should depart and enter the seminary of Rabbi Shimon in the Garden of Eden. Why should he still be in this world for no reason? But Rabbi Shimon said, "Let time be given to him." In other words, Rabbi Shimon proved to him that he should be given time anew. Since he still needed to live in this world and engage in new corrections. And then he was given time, meaning that the Messiah and Rabbi Shimon notified him what he was yet to do in this world. 60. The Messiah departed there, shuddering with his eyes tearing. Rabbi Chiya was shaken and wept. He said, "Happy are the righteous in that world, and happy is Bar Yochai for having been rewarded with this. It is said about him that it is written, 'To endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries.' Since the Messiah came out of Rabbi Shimon's seminary with his eyes tearing for all the longing for the complete redemption, this is the reason why Rabbi Chia was shaken too."
Questions? Yes.
I have something that's running through me, these words, to be crowned with their renewals in Torah. I'll be happy if you could explain, not to the mind, but what are these renewals?
I'm not going to explain anything to you. You came to the Zohar for the wrong reason. More? Yes?
Ami from Yokneam is asking, the excerpt that we read now, all these numbers and these quantities, they feel like we're in a laboratory. What I don't understand, I don't understand these statistics here. How do we draw the reforming light correctly?
The reforming light is the force of correction. As if I arrange for myself a place that I want to correct, place is called a deficiency, and it's a place that's between us, in the friends, in the ten, just like it was talked here about with the ten of Rabbi Chia. So if I arrange myself such a place, so if that place, that sensation of a deficiency that I still seek, where to add, what to add, or I already found what to add, and I am looking for the forces of how to add, and maybe also the forces I know how to add, but I need more correctly to depict what will give me this whole gathering, this whole result, this innovation that I will do now in this connection, that's actually all the work. That's what I pray for. That's what I need to scrutinize. That's what I need to ask for. We don't understand so much that the wisdom of Kabbalah is a very simple thing to ask. And each time for you to just have the right thing to ask. If you don't prepare the right place for the request, then it's a faulty dud of a request. And it's not beneficial. Rather, it's beneficial by the fact that you're shown how much you did incorrectly, and it's worth correcting, and how to correct. And then you are put through all kinds of states from which you learn what the right request that you need to give is. But other than asking correctly, there is no expertise in the wisdom of Kabbalah of being a Kabbalist. A Kabbalist is one who knows how to ask, to request. But to request, you need to, prior to that, try to do something on your own, to connect the friends, to discover the state that you're not capable of, where you see the corruption that you're asking for correction for, connection meaning, all those things that will be clear before you. And then you come and ask. That's it. And in that, everything ends. Only in the request, in the raising of man. Okay? Yes, Seth?
I've been trying to understand the concept of continually annulling.
אני מנסה להבין את העיקרון של כל הזמן להתבטל.
Is
להתבטל.
להתבטל.
כן.
To annul. Yes. In the holiday,
Moses annulled each step up Mount Sinai.
כמו שדיברנו ביום כיפור שמשה התבטל כל מדרגה על הר סיני.
And then we see, like here, Rabbi Chia, he's rewarded the next level, but he says, no, I want to continue my corrections here.
עכשיו גם פה רבי חייא, נותנים לו את המדרגה הבאה, ואומר, לא, אני רוצה להמשיך פה את התיקונים.
How do we continue to annul in our work each step of the way?
איך כל הזמן ממשיכים להתבטל בעבודה שלנו, בכל צעד?
אנחנו קראנו הרבה פעמים
we read many times that the what we call the servant of the creator, the Kabbalist, he longs for the work, he longs for the effort and not for the results. Not for the results. That is actually the method. Where I don't ask for the result, the summary, I'm not asking for a reward. I'm asking for the work, because in my work that I do for the sake of the general correction of the world, for the sake of the Creator, which is the result of the correction of the world, I don't want anything. The question is, do I want to come to this correction? No. I don't want to come to correction. I want to cause the correction. I told you that I once learned in the yeshiva Dvar Yerushalayim with Rabbi Yitzchak Zilber. He may rest in peace. He passed away long ago. So he told me. He was from Uzbekistan or somewhere there, from one of those places in Russia. From where? From Kazan. So he said that he used to observe all the mitzvot. He was a very simple Jew. Whatever is written, he would do. That's it. Nothing but that. And he really wanted to go out of Russia to Israel, and it was prohibited. And then he had the opportunity, and he was given the opportunity to go out. And when he already came to Israel, he was from Chabad. Well, there in Russia, in every place, Chabad used to care for people. The others didn't have the possibility to come there. So he heard that the rabbi from Lubavitch said that it's too bad that he's leaving there, because he could have done many more things there. And he was so sorry about that. He was truly sorry about it. And then he wrote to his friend that had to leave Russia a few months after him. And it was a very special situation. That friend already came to Brest. Brest was the city on the border between Russia and Poland, and in short, to come to Israel. And for that friend, he was already, before the train, with his suitcases, ready to leave 200 meters from here. That's already the border of Russia, and he's going to run away from all of this prison that he was in the Soviet Union. And he was told that the rabbi from Lubavitch said that it was best for him to stay there and to continue to work. And he stayed. As he, so many years that he was like being in a prison. So what am I trying to say? It's an example that a person longs for the work and not for the reward. That's it's an example that if someone could maybe, make it tangible a little bit. It's the same thing here. What is it for Rabbi Chiya to be here, there, wherever he can, from his work, make an influence? That's called the reward. The reward is that I'm given the work. And other than that, no other reward I don't want, otherwise it won't be in order to bestow. It will immediately be in order to receive. It's like in this world, I work and receive reward. No, there needs to be work is the reward. Okay? Yes. That's called that you should be a servant, not in order to receive a prize or a reward. The reward is called that other than the work, you want something else. Yes.
You said, I don't want to get to the correction. I want to cause the creation. What's the difference?
Causing correction means that I'm the causation for it. And other than that, I don't know what else. I don't need to understand anything other. That's not important to me.
So if I can cause the correction, will I get to the work?
I don't want to see the results. So God forbid it will be as a reward to me. As an earning from it.
What do I have from this?
What do you have from this? That you're doing the correction.
So what's the difference?
What do you mean, what's the difference?
To cause the creation or to make the correction?
To reach it, it's that I reach it. I don't reach anything. I reach the fact that I cause. It's a causation of the correction. Should we say, it's the reason for the correction. You are doing some kind of a good thing for a person, and you don't want him to know about it, and for the Creator to know about it either, you don't want. But rather, only the action itself. Why? For what? What will I have from this? It's not for me, for him. Towards me, that's how I have to do it. Because otherwise, it will be in order to receive. It will come back in some kind of alternative ways to me, and I don't want that.
You can't make such an action.
We're not talking about possible or not possible. No action is possible to do. There's none else besides him does it. But we need to long for him to do that.
What's to say to do it with such a covenant intention that no one knows this, and how to tie it so that the Creator will do it?
I have nothing to explain here. We're just going to philosophize about it. You don't understand? See, you don't understand for the time being. It'll come. We're continuing? Please.
Introduction to the Book of Zohar, article You Are Partners With Me, item 61. Rabbi Shimon started, I have put my words in your mouth. One should toil in the Torah day and night, because the Creator listens to the voice of those who engage in Torah. In each word that is renewed in the Torah through a person who labors in the Torah, he makes one firmament. The Creator gave his power of speech into the mouths of the righteous. As it is written, you are with me.
Firmament is Masach.
You are with me to partner with me. As I have made the heaven and earth with my speech, as it is written, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. The righteous will create heaven by the power of their speech. By that, Rabbi Shimon began the verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Created is a blocked word, a word that closes rather than opens. We should understand why it was made in closing. He says that he did so in order to place the end of the correction of heaven and earth in the speech of the righteous, to make them partners with him in creating heaven and earth. As it is written, and I will place my words in your mouth. This contains two discernments of renewal of heaven and earth, which he placed in the mouths of the righteous. 1. To correct the sin of Adam HaRishon. Since the Emanator made the correction of heaven and earth in a sublime way prior to the sin of Adam HaRishon, it is explained in the act of creation that Zon of Atzilut rose to Al-Chanpin and to Upper Abanima, and Adam HaRishon rose and clothed Yesut and Zon of Atzilut. Also, Adam HaRishon had Naran of Atzilut, called upper brightness, until the heel of Adam was darkening the circle of the sun. After the sin with the tree of knowledge, he descended to this corporeal world, and his Naran now came to him from the worlds of the separated Bia. And heaven and earth of Atzilut declined because of him into Vak, and a point from Tabu of Arichanpin and below. The righteous must mend all the flaws that were caused by the sin to renew the heaven and earth of Atzilut, Hurazon, and elevate them to Arichanpin and to Abba and Ima, as they were prior to the sin. Also, the righteous themselves will reacquire the upper brightness of Adam Rishon, which is Naran from the world of Atzilut. 2. Before the sin, Adam Rishon too did not have all the wholeness that the emanator wished to give him. This is why, once the righteous correct the sin of the tree of knowledge and obtain the wholeness of Naran of Atzilut that Adam Rishon had before the sin, they must work anew to extend all the upper mochin that have never been in the world, as it is written, "Neither has the eye seen a God besides you." And these worlds, which no eye has seen yet, and which complement the righteous, are called a new heaven and a new land, for they are truly new and have never existed. But those heaven and earth, which the righteous renew and bring back, as it was in the act of creation, before the sin of Adam Rishon, are not considered truly new heaven and earth. After all, they have already existed in the world, since the emanator has already corrected them by himself by the sin, before the sin. Rather, they are renewed, since after they were blemished and were cancelled, they were renewed. For this reason, these righteous are still not regarded as partners with the Creator. Thus the verse, "I have put my words in your mouth," which Rabbi Shimon introduces, referring to the upper mochin, which Adam Rishon lacked as well, since they were actually innovated by the righteous, for they had not yet departed from the emanator. This is why the righteous are considered as actual partners in that regard. The Creator listens to the voices of those who engage in Torah, with each word that is renewed in the Torah through a person who toils in the Torah. He makes one firmament. Zranpin is called a voice, and Nukva is called speech. When a righteous engages in Torah, he raises man to Zon with the voice and speech of his Torah. A voice rises to Zranpin, and a speech rises to the Nukva. The Creator listens to the voices of those who engage in Torah, because the voice of Torah rises from man to Zranpin, who is called the Creator. And in each word that is renewed in the Torah through the person who is exerting in Torah, he makes one firmament. A word means speech. Each word that is renewed in the Torah of the one who engages in the Torah rises as man for the Nukva, who is called word and speech. By that, one firmament is done. The firmament, the masach on which the zivug of the Creator with his divinity is done, and is carried out through the man that the righteous raise by their engagement in the Torah. The reason why he says, "in a word of Torah," and does not say, "innovation in the voice of Torah," is that the Nukva needs the construction of her Yesod anew for each zivug, since after each zivug, she becomes a virgin once again. And through the man of the righteous, the Yesod in her is always renewed, meaning the receptacle for the lights of Zranpin. This is why he says, "in each word that is renewed in the Torah," since the word Malchut is truly renewed by the righteous word of Torah. For after every zivug, her receptacle disappears once more. 62. At the time when a new word of Torah comes out of the mouth of a man, that word rises and is introduced before the Creator. The Creator takes that word, kisses it, and crowns it with 70 decorated and engraved crowns. Then the new word of wisdom rises and sits on the head of the righteous, one who lives forever. From there it flies and sails through 70,000 worlds, rising to Atik Yomin, the Ketel. All the words of Atik Yomin are words of wisdom in the high, hidden secrets. That is, when a person raises man with his word of Torah, the upper word, Nukva Zranpin, rises and is introduced before the Creator for a zivug with him. The Creator takes that word and kisses it. There are two discernments in each zivug of Zon. Zivug of Neshikin, kisses, and Zivug of Yesodot, the foundations. This is so because the name is not completed before he creates the light for his light, and they clothe in one another. For besides the level of Chochmah, a second Zivug is required for the level of Chasadim, so the level of Chochmah might clothe in the level of Chasadim. For this reason, each Zivug includes two Zivugim. One, a Zivug for the level of Chochmah, called Zivug of Neshikin. It is in the Pe of Rosh, for the level of Rosh and Gar. Two, a Zivug for the level of Chasadim. This is called Zivug of Yesodot, and it is for the level of Chasadim. The Creator takes that word, Nugva, and kisses it, meaning a Zivug of Neshikin for the level of Gar. He crowns it, meaning a zivug of Yesodot, for the level of Chasadim, at which time the Chochmah dresses in Chasadim and the Nukva is crowned with complete Mochin, and crowns it with 70 decorated and engraved crowns. The complete Mochin of the Nukva is called 70 crowns, because the Nukva is the seventh day. When she receives from Zranpin, who is in tens, she becomes 70. The Mochin is called crowns. Hence he is called 70 crowns. He says that they are decorated and engraved, meaning that through the man of the righteous, they become a receptacle for those 70 crowns. And a new word of wisdom rises and sits on the head of the righteous, one who lives forever. There are two renewals of heaven and earth, which are Zon. One, to reinstate the crown as it was prior to the sin of Adam HaRishon. On this renewal, the Nukva is called the Word of Torah. And this is what Rabbi Shimon explained thus far. Two, the renewal of heaven and earth in Upper Mochin, which even Adam HaRishon did not attain. In that regard, Nukva is called Word of Wisdom. And a new word of wisdom rises and sits on the head of the righteous one who lives forever. As it is written, righteous sit with their crowns on their heads. This is so because through the man of the righteous, who are already complete with the upper brightness of Adam HaRishon, such as Rabbi Shimon and his friends, the Nukva of Zranpin rises to being a crown at the head of the righteous, Zranpin, with respect to his Yesod, the one who lives forever. Commentary. The light of Chochmah is called the light of Chaya. And since Zranpin can draw the light of Chaya only through the Nukva, it is considered that he is alive only when in Zivug with the Nukva, who is called World. This is why, at that time, he is called a righteous one who lives forever. It is also discerned that the Nukva is a crown over his head, for the Mochin that are called crown are from the Nukva, and he would not be rewarded with them without her. We also learned that he did not move from being fond of her until my mother called, since the consequences is regarded as the offspring of its cause. And because the Nukva was the cause for the light of Chaya of Zranpin, in that respect, the Nukva has become his mother. From there, it flies and sails through 70,000 worlds. After she made it with Zranpin in a crown over the head of the righteous, she flies and rises further up to Zranpin, where her Zat are corrected in 700,000 worlds. This is so because the Sefirot of Zranpin are 10,000, and she rises from Zranpin to Atik Yomin, and he calculates the ascents of Zon one at a time up to Atik Yomin, which is done by the man of the complete righteous. This is because the Zivug of the crown on the head of the righteous is by ascending to upper Abba and Ima. and rising from there to Al-Khanpin in 70,000 worlds, and from there to Atik, who is the highest of all. All the words of Atik Yomin are words of wisdom in the high hidden secrets. He interprets the merit of Mochin that are given to the Nukva through her ascent to Atik Yomin. He says that all the words of Atik Yomin, all the levels that are received from Atik Yomin, are words of wisdom in the high and hidden secrets, Gar of Chokhmah. This is so because words of Chokhmah indicate the level of Chokhmah. And the high and hidden secrets are Gar of Chokhmah. Those are revealed only by ascending to the place of Atik Yomin and not below him.
Questions? Everyone is already falling asleep.
Pinchas from Jerusalem is asking. Pinchas from Jerusalem is asking, what's the connection between yearning and Tzinkat?
Longing or yearning is an action that precedes all other actions in practice. It's a deficiency. And other than longing, what?
Inclusion.
Inclusion, incorporation is really the action itself. Incorporation comes from the one desire. And incorporation is really talking about two desires. More? Yes?
Martin from Baltia is asking, many friends are in World Kli have gathered in Petah Tikva. How can we be included and cooperate with them as strong as possible so that we'll receive the reforming light?
It doesn't matter where a person is. It completely doesn't matter. It all depends on how much he enters the screen and wants to be with us. There's nothing. I'm seeing on the screens now. Moscow, Europe, Kiev, Vienna, Khedera, all kinds there, and others, Asia. I don't see any difference. I don't know. Let's say Owen was here. Now he is in China. I feel him as truly being as close as possible to me. It all depends on the deficiency of a person. Therefore, there's no... I don't think that distance defines anything at all. It defines for a beginner, it gives him on purpose such a feeling like he's far, that he wants to come closer. But that I myself am physically distant, it gives a little bit of a drive, a push to have more attention, because nevertheless this world is also as a partition, as a influencing factor, but no more than that. We need to understand that all these conditions that we're in are in great precision organized for our benefit. It's truly so. Yes.
He said that if we ask incorrectly, then he shows the incorrect request. And so if during the study, if there's some way of identifying this, is there some kind of sign that you're asking correctly or not?
No, I don't do any calculations. Those are calculations of the Creator. It could be that I was truly fine, and during the study, all of a sudden I get such thoughts that I am ashamed of. Well, so what? The fact that I'm ashamed is also a transgression, that I'm associating it to myself. I should associate it to the Creator. And then what do I need to do? How should I respond to that? How to unify all those thoughts, both to me and to him? Because all the deeds he does, all the actions he does. And that's why I have no calculation with transgressions and with thoughts, with anything. Only in unifying it to the Creator. Only. Now, all of a sudden, I get some thought that I'll be ashamed to even tell you about it. Well, that's for every one of us, happens. I will be ashamed to tell you, not about the thought, because it was sent from above. And all our sins are from the sin of Adam HaRishon. But I would be ashamed from the fact that I didn't unify it with the Creator. I didn't make a unification there. And I didn't use all the might that He gave me to ask. For that I am to blame. For that I have to give judgment. And not for the thought itself. No. That's how it is. Okay? Yes.
Question like this. If we take the Zohar without the interpretation of Baal HaSulam, you're reading it now. I mean,
in the Zohar you have translation to Hebrew also without Baal HaSulam. So what?
And you have the other option of reading with the interpretation of Baal HaSulam. We're reading it anyway as a Segula, and that one's also as a Segula. So what's Baal HaSulam really here?
Well, it's probably a question. We are in a building. Electricity comes to this building. But we don't have light bulbs. Will that help us, that electricity? No. You need someone who connects between you and that external general force of energy. That's the teacher. The teacher is a guide. He's like a tour guide. He's taking you, like he'd take a baby and teaches him how to walk, how to place his foot, how to turn, what to be afraid of, what to be cautious of, to get closer, to get distant. He's teaching you. Without the discernments that you take from him, you don't find your way. One who doesn't have a teacher and has a drive but doesn't have a guide usually invents for himself some method and buries himself in it. And we have, until this day, many in the world. Every day you have new methods. Yes.
It's called interpretation of Baal HaSulam. But we're not interpreting.
You don't know what a commentary, what an interpretation is, if you're saying so. The commentary is called a clothing, where only through the clothing you can reveal the phenomena. It's not an interpretation like you have in some nice literature where someone's interpreting it there. The commentary, the interpretation is a clothing without which you cannot get to know the matter. That's it, you can't. You have no possibility to attain it. You don't identify it. You can't even reveal that it exists. But rather, you need some adapter that's called the commentary, where this adapter is a clothing upon that phenomena, that upper spiritual concealed phenomena. And then you're revealing. What are you revealing? You're revealing the clothing. You're not revealing the phenomena itself, only its clothing. Where do you reveal it from? From Baal HaSulam. Yes.
There's a time when a student will say that we reveal what he really has done for us with the interpretations, that's our opening.
Let's hope that you reach a state in where at least in some part you'll be able to say, yes, that's something he did for me. I also think that also today you have something like that you can say, because you have certain knowledge, you have a certain connection to the wisdom, not the light of Chochmah, but of wisdom. But nevertheless, you have attained all of that through your teachers. Well, but in truth, the commentary is clothing. The adapter, the connector between me and a phenomena that I cannot reveal, discover with my kilim. I need a correction for my kilim so that they will know how to attain the concealed. And then the commentary is the connector between my kilim and that concealed one. Meaning in that commentary you have the galgalta in name of the upper, the achap of the upper, a connection to you, to sort you in a way that you will connect to that achap of the upper. Clothing is not simple. It's layers and layers of parzufim, if not worlds.
We don't understand anything, huh?
You didn't understand? Very good. That's very good that you don't understand. At least you understood that you don't understand. You'll have a more of an appreciation for it. Yes.
Where exists the attainment of a Kabbalist? Is it a phenomena in his desires, in his will? Is it where are all these things that he attains? Where does it happen?
I don't understand so much. Where does it exist? Where does it take place?
Where does it exist? Where does it happen? Is it somewhere inside the will?
In his intention.
It's all in the kavanah, the intention?
It's all in the intention. He has a desire, and from the desire, he has an intention of how he wants to use his desire. So in the intention, the correct intention in some way, in some level, to use his desire, in that relation, that attitude towards the upper, he attains.
So everything that the Kabbalist devotes is in his intentions?
The ability to direct yourself correctly.
To direct oneself correctly? It doesn't change anything in the will? I see that more and more it seems to me that the method is impossible in the desire.
The desire? No, we cannot change desires. On the contrary, leave them as they are. They do not change, only the intentions. Only the intentions. I, according to my nature, want to kill someone. Very nice. Now I just need to know how do I use that desire in the right way. All of a sudden, it's revealed to me that I want to eat someone, some guy. I have to use that desire in the right way. All kinds of weird, the weirdest of desires. I'm not talking about nice, not nice. That's already nonsense, but really strange. Everything has a place. And I'm not concerned of the desire itself, even though to start with, the person is kind of like perplexed. Oh, what's that desire that you can have? And when it settles a little, he cares of the correction of its intention.
How does a Kabbalist operate in a way that he doesn't relate to his desire? He doesn't have any influence from his desire?
The desire gives me a drive to instill upon it the right intention. Because the difference between Adam HaRishon, who is corrupted or corrected, are the intentions upon all his 620 desires.
We spoke about the reward, and the work is also the action that happens in the kavanot, the intentions, and not in the desire.
Desires are not changed. We're prohibited to touch them.
So I,
when I do a restriction, then in the restriction I already have the decision that I don't touch the desire.
So all of the work in the intentions happen after the tzimtzum, the restrictions. Because there is a desire, and without the tzimtzum, the desires work on you.
Also after the restriction, there is a desire. The restriction does not erase the desire. It only makes it, you just make a decision that you're not going to use the desire in such a way. You won't implement it that way.
So we can say that the tzimtzum stabilizes the desire?
It controls it until you slowly, slowly go and acquire the right intention. And also the desire itself, you need to examine what is bad in the desire. The desire is not good or bad. Desire is desire. But only the intention for the benefit of the other or for the detriment of the other happens from the Creator. You just examine it accordingly. Tell me, what else do you need? Except for in order to bestow or not? There are no other corrections. Such desires come to you that are truly horrible. They're disastrous. Just like we spoke now in Slichot, in repentances. The correction is only for the benefit of the other. But all the corrections have to happen, you have to use all of them in the most open way. Yes?
Now
we don't understand, what is this style? How could such a thing be? Where I take desires that are such desires that, and yes, I do that. In order to bestow, I all of a sudden see that those desires take on a completely different shape.
So all of the connection with the Creator is to relate to reality. It happens in the intentions?
Yes, of course.
So spirituality is a realm of intentions that's in parallel?
Not in parallel. It's a world of intentions. Everything according to the intention. What is a masach? Intentions. To the extent in which you have intentions, then you have a masach upon which this the upper world is depicted.
So the imagined world is a world of intentions?
The desires. The desires for themselves, that's there. You could say without intentions. You could say just like the desires, the intention is.
So what happens in the correction? What happens to a Kabbalist? He lives and he has two worlds that he exists in at the same time?
Of course. Of course, you're asking about this world?
Spiritual
about this, this world is just a world of of existence. There's no too much or too little.
So all the Kabbalist does is a 1001 things, so it's without the end of corrections.
Okay, but he is taking this world into account just to not harm others, to sustain himself, and to bring contentment to through everyone to the Creator. That's actually his actions. Very simply. He divides his life to simple things. Whatever's in this world in order to sustain his body as he needs to, like he's commanded. And all the rest is through intentions to the Creator. I don't understand.
So it's still creating systems from the sources. He's creating sources from this world that comes from the spiritual and from the book of Zohar and interpretation of the Sulam. It is a spiritual kli, and it's here, in front of us.
I don't know. I already stopped understanding you at this point. First of all, what you have before you is not a kli.
It's a book.
It's a book, okay, paper, pages.
But a Kabbalist made it.
What he did is not the pages and not the text.
Not the pages. And so what is it called?
So I'm telling you, it's a little different.
So that's what I'm trying to grasp. What does a Kabbalist do towards this reality?
Towards the reality of this world, only he uses it as much as possible to evoke, awaken the beast, to tame the beast, to all kinds of actions in order for them, through those actions, have the upper light influence them, and they will receive an upliftment, an awakening, and they will get closer to spiritual work. That's how he works. Just like you do with a small child. You spin him this way or that way or another way, just so that he will acquire wisdom, mindfulness, approach, and same thing.
But it means that the Kabbalists leave us are not means that have spiritual force?
Yes, but that belongs to the Kabbalist, not to you. The Kabbalist who does some kind of actions, like you do with your child, for example, then when you give your child all kinds of tasks, duties, you understand that the nature will influence him, and by that he'll get wiser, he will acquire experience, etc. You are the connector for him with nature, because you know that through such actions he will acquire such wisdom upon such wisdom, he'll acquire those. You're connecting him with nature. A Kabbalist does the same thing. He connects a person with the creator, with the higher nature.
By the means that he's given?
That belongs to the Kabbalist. A person has no means. His means is to hear what his teacher says.
And by that you connect to the creator. If you hear what the Kabbalist says, you use what he says?
Yes, by that the Kabbalist is connected to you, and you are connected to him.
And it's through this world that it happens, because you're using the things in this world.
Yes, of course. Group, study, dissemination, all those things, all that the Kabbalist says, the more you are in it, you have more chance of receiving connection with the Creator and with nature, the upper nature, and to continue and get wiser that way.
So it's always hidden from a person?
Always. A degree that you didn't attain yet. How can it be that you attain it?
Why is it organized in that way that it's hidden?
You're not capable of revealing in your kelim. There's no concealment here on purpose.
But you're never able to see where you are.
So that you go above reason. Because your kilim are not kilim of reception. They're the intention in order to bestow.
No.
Well, give him more and...
A question that's continuing is from Eli from Batel. As the desire is stronger, the intention is stronger?
It could be more qualitative, not necessarily stronger. There's force and there's quality. And between them, there's a certain correlation between the intensity and the quality of it. There's a hero in quantity and a hero in quality. The same there is in Kilim. You have the light of Nefesh holds you like this, like that. And you have smaller lights, but they're more delicate. What is small? They're not small, they're just... their work is in delicacy. This is the difference between quantity and quality, and we need to see this. This is the form that we will learn also in the Magen David. Yes.
Alec from New Jersey is asking if the intention in reading the Zohar changes according to what we read. We spoke before about the intention.
It all depends on who is reading, on the person who's reading. That's how his intention is. But the intention needs to be very simple. I want for this to influence me, for it to bring me the ability to bestow connection through the group to the Creator. In order to bestow, that's what I need. And not... Don't be too immersed in this with all the input. Very simple. Devotion.
I'd just like to pinpoint the question, because we said before that a Kabbalist who writes a book gives us intentions. So the friend is asking if I understand correctly that if the book changes our intention all the time according to how it leads us from one place to another.
No, a book doesn't bring us to any intentions. No.
Shevet Achim Gam Yachad.